Here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, founder of the Heartfelt Foundation, and other organizations dedicated to improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about MSIA.
You know, it's the story of the two old people who go in to see their attorney, and they're 93, 94 years old. And they said, "We want to get divorced." And the attorney said, "Good gravy, you've been married for 70-some years. Why on earth do you want to get divorced?" They said, "Well, we decided we'd stay together until the children died." Feed forward, see? I know that's not the regular line. See, life begins when the children are gone from home and the dog dies, or the cat, because that can keep you bound up as home as much as kids. We have to watch how we live the progressions of our life. We have to make sure that we don't give into ourselves negative feedback called beating yourself up for a mistake you made. I don't understand why people do that anyway. I can understand thinking back over what you did to gain the wisdom out of the procedure. An intellectual exercise. When you're typing on a computer and you hit the wrong letter, you take out a gun and shoot yourself. Because it's messed up the whole electronic situation. Look, it's on the screen, it's the wrong letter. Now, if I had a regular typewriter, I could just white it out, or pull down, put another piece of paper in it, and be on about my business. We say, "Wait a minute, didn't you know there's a backup key, a ray to erase that out?" We say, "Well, no, nobody told me." We say, "Didn't you read the book? The directions?" They say, "No, I just saw somebody using it, and it was like a typewriter, so I sit down, and I knew I could type. It was very easy." And yet, what appears to be easy for someone who has read the manual and had instructions, they're so good, it seems easy. And so you compare your ability from one thing to another thing, but not knowing how to run it entirely, you make the fool out of yourself. And instead of gaining the information called, "Hey, how do you get rid of mistakes on the screen?" And somebody comes in and says, "You hit this backspace key and it goes away," which is feedback information, but it's also feed forward, correct the mistake so I can put the right letter in and keep going. We as human beings think that because we're born into a body, that we know how to run that. If that's true, you're doing a terrible job. If it's true that you don't know how to run the body, and that's why it's a terrible job, maybe you should go inside and read your manual of instructions. Is your heart loving and caring as it communicates? Is your mind clear on the information that you want to present through your mouth? Or on a piece of paper? Is it clear? You say, "Well, I don't know." Have somebody else read it. Tell it to somebody to see if it's clear. They say yes, and they give back the essence or the exact words, then you can rest pretty well assured that that part came out all right. But you're not responsible just to that point called, "Well, I told them." if you're not willing to also go with them and listen with them and see that it's done, then don't tell them and pretend that they're supposed to know how to do it. Because then you're just going to give feedback. The person might say to you, well, I had never done this before. How was I supposed to know what you wanted? That's an excuse type of situation, isn't it? Nevertheless, it's a valid statement. It's a request. How am I supposed to know? There's a sequence of information that we all have to go through in order to come to the conclusion. And that sequence of information has to have progressive abilities in it, so you have a measuring rod. Maybe it's a ruler. Maybe it's money, that you're getting more money. Maybe it's the ability to run a mile further. But in there has to be these benchmarks, milestones, measuring rods, so you can see some type of progression. Spiritually, we don't have those like we have them here. They can give me time, how long I'm talking. I have a reference point. Spiritually, how do you know how well you're growing? You say, well, faith. It's a wonderful thing. Faith is a power like electricity. I mean, you plug into faith, you've plugged into one of the most dynamic powers in the universe. God said, let there be light. And there was light, a statement of faith. He didn't say God drew the little diagram, threw the rock down, it made a spark, and then out came light. He said, let there be light. Then the other things was created. See, once we start to get the statement of faith called, regardless of the evidence not present, I know, not a statement of righteousness, I know, but a statement of profound experience of conducting the divine energies through you and writing on them that you do know. Once you get that, you've put your hand to the plow and you won't turn back. You'll look back and stumble into your future and miss the very visionary thing that you were after because you strayed from your course. But some people set their course straight ahead, and if you get in the way, they push you out of the way or threaten you or abuse you. Nobody said that the straight is the way and narrow is the path, meaning hurt everybody who gets in the way of that. The path meanders in its flow towards the divinity. Nevertheless, it's a straight path. In the way you'll understand that's when you get on it. Because as you walk it, you'll find that the things that you're after are right in front of you. And you can look down the vistas of time and set out 20-year goals, 15, 5, 1 year, 6 months, next week, tomorrow, tonight, another 20 minutes. And every one of those will be pulling you forward. Your future is calling you into its heart. But it calls you from your heart. So you don't have to wait to some distant time to experience the divine joy and the humor and the fun and the love and the sharing and the being part of the extended family other than your own flesh and blood. You get to have it as you move along, and when you come to the end, it's even more profound. But you must set yourself up to receive the more rarefied initiatory experiences. so that more of it can flow in and through all the levels of your spirit. And that's the job that you have to do. Mine is to make sure the energy's up there so it can come down. On this level, we're equal. There's none greater or lesser. There's just those who are more experienced, and in my case, I've made more mistakes. If you've been around a couple thousand years, you'll have made a lot of mistakes. You know, when I tell people, whatever you do, I've already done it, that isn't a statement of pride. That's a statement of stupidity and ignorance. But it's to let you know that if you can make all the mistakes and still get up here in front of the room and share love and joy, what is there for you except the greatest potentials and the ability to reach into that vision and live them right now? And watch when you walk out of here that what you look at, because if you look at a taxi go by and it doesn't stop, it controls you and you're rejected. And as you're looking at it going, yeah, and this to your family, the next taxi is also going by because it doesn't know you want one. One thing about living in New York, you learn to get over rejection in a hurry. Another thing about living in New York, you're always looking forward to rejection. What do you do with the same side and the opposite sides of that coin? You can't walk away from the taxi when you're needed and it's raining, so you stand there and stop the taxi. So you have to look into your future, because here it comes out of your past, because it's coming from where you've been, and it's going where you want to go, and you have to get in it. And it's called, at all costs, you've got to get in it. And then it stops, and you hop in one door, and some other person bigger than you hops in the other door. Now what do you do? Hop back out? No. Is that an option? Yes. What's back out there? Rain. That's why you wanted to get out of it. It wasn't what you came for. What's in the taxi? The unknown future. Were you there first, and does that make any difference if they're bigger than you? If you're there first, they're bigger than you, they throw you out and they take it. Being there first means nothing. It's who can endure to the end that means something. Immediately you switch into high negotiation tactics. Isn't this not so? Which way are you going? We can share the taxi. We can split the fare. Does the taxi driver care? No, he's punching in a thing there. And while you're debating it, it may be clocking time on you. Does he care? No. He may want to turn off his motor to save gas. He may want some instructions. And so you really rapidly say, where do you live? And they pop out the address, you pop out your address, and you immediately say, mine's just before yours, and try it around the corner, and you say, let's go, cabbie, and he takes off. He doesn't care. Finally, he says, what's the street address and number? Because he doesn't care about the negotiation. See, that's your guide. You care about the negotiation. When you get to the first stop, comes a question. Who pays the first part of the fare? Because the next part of the fare is only going to be 25 cents around the block. Do you split it? Well, you're going to be splitting more of the other person's money if you're out first. But if you're out first, you should pay the first segment because they get to pay the next segment. So you have to sit there and do money crazies. Plus the tip. Who gets to keep the receipt for tax records? See, this is how we negotiate ourselves with feedback into negativity, instead of saying, wait a minute, there's a sunshine tomorrow that I better look towards. I'll pay all of the taxi fare. I'm glad to have been of service to you, because if you were as miserable as I was, and if you're as happy as I am, then it's my pleasure to serve you. and joy starts to come up inside and the clothes go dry. But if they don't go dry, they don't bother you. They're no longer bothering you because you've had immediate success in your life of sharing in the bounty of one available taxi. The other night we were at a party and we all came out and a lot of us were waiting to get a taxi, and it was kind of a brisky cold breeze. And a sweet little lady that was with us, I can't call her little lady because she's a lady and she's not real giant, but she's not old. We were looking around, people started running like which way to get taxis. And I was standing there watching people run, going, how am I going to gather these people up? And I figured, that's their job. See, I took on a job that wasn't my job. Around the corner came a taxi stop, out she jumped and said, here's your taxi. She knew where to get the taxis. We just knew to run around. It looked like we knew how to get taxis. Do you understand that? We didn't. She did. I noticed where the taxi came from, and I said, there's another one over there. As we got in the taxi, that was the people around me, and those who were running around started running towards the other taxi. That's called future feedback. There's another taxi. Go get it. And it was so joyful to have the past come forward and somebody deliver it to you and smile when they say, here's your past, it's complete, it can take you to your future. That's called learning from your experiences, learning from your mistakes, make them stepping stones, not stumbling blocks. And you'll be challenged to see if it's a stepping stone, because somebody will hop on it with you to see if it wobbles or not. When they do, you go, whoa, that's shaky. Sure. What do? Maintain your balance or get off it. To maintain your balance, you may have to grab the other person. They may have to grab you. That may be who you end up marrying. It works like that, folks. It also may be the one you don't want to ever see again. And now you know it. And you can't wait to get away. See, we will take life, the gift of experience, of having individual growth through individual experience to expand conscious awareness in ourselves to such a rate that we can expand into the omnipotent, omniscient, divine, and flow into that and drop the personality of separation, which is the veil between us and the spirit, is our personality, called who we think we are about ourselves and who we think we are about you, not who we all are together. And we enter into the divine and become one with the co-creator. The individual plan is under the plan of Lucifer, and the plan of oneness is under God. And it has equal power here. And we have equal ability to choose. And if we choose too much individuality, and we find ourselves home alone in front of the TV with a lot of time and nobody around, or if we find ourselves with a group and we're still lonely because nobody really cares and appreciates us, we have an option there for this future vision. To focus in, what would we need right now that would fulfill this beingness here and make it rapture? And we say, someone to share with in an open, loving way, who would have understanding and compassion for me. And then the question comes up, would you give them the same thing? Because the moment you yell and scream at them is the moment they get to yell and scream back. The moment you force separation is the time they get to go through with theirs. And we say, that's not fair. And they say, that's not fair. And so we all declare unfairness against the thing we're doing as an individual that we thought was right and proper. Finally, we give up this individual cursedness of separation and the lust after power. and start to share it. And in that moment, everybody has their time in the light and the loving and the caring. And undoubtedly, the negativity of the planet will come against you to prove this wrong. And if you go with it, it will prove this wrong. And you'll be right in your wrongness. And that's separation and loneliness. Or when it comes, you can prove that this is right. And while it's gone away in its wrongness, you're there with all things, feeling the fullness of it. It's amazing that when we get three or four people in celebration, it can be off key and inharmonious. But when we get everyone in celebration, it comes into a harmony, because there are so many divergent sounds that it will come into a harmony. Now, it may be some sort of a subtype of harmony or a dissonance, but it will resonate with a balance in there. But those who don't resonate to that balance will call you bad, wrong, terrible. We've had disagreements with nations politically, economically, socially, sexually. Different races don't mix. We've had that. As a matter of fact, the superior genetics will rule out the inferior genetics regardless of the race. That one who is superior endowed with the genetics will put their lineage out. The one that's blessed is going to have the superior genetics, regardless of how inferior they are to start out. Maybe you've heard me say, you can't fool genetics. Like, I'll look at a person, look at the mother and father, and say, you can't fool genetics. And people look and smile. What I'm saying is, the parents are feeble-minded, and so is the kid. No, that's not what I'm saying, but that's an option. I mean, it might be there. Usually the parents are saying, that's my child, how wonderful. Then the kid throws up one end and then messes in the other end, and you got to clean up both. You go, that's my wife's child. You understand that? When you win in a marriage, in a battle with your spouse, do you know that you're in for a long, hard time? And if you let your spouse win, pretty soon they say, no, you win. Now you get to fight about who's winning. It's another option. You don't have to fight to make people lose. See, if we can take the time to see how we negotiate ourselves into negative positions and then anchor on it and call that a vision forward feedback system, we lie because we know it's not, because we're stuck in a position that's in the past. I mean, as soon as we go into yesterday you, it's past. And all I can say is, why don't you let the admonition of the Bible reign, called the evil of today is enough. And let the dead bury the dead. See, all of those statements are called, y'all come on forward into the future. That's all that's saying to you. And guess who has to go into their future? I don't have to go into your future, but you do. Do you have to? Try to go into the past. Anybody who can go into last month, I'll give you a round trip ticket, because I'll have you correct a few things. Because I still think they could be corrected, but they don't drive me. And if you can't, don't bother me with what I said 10 minutes ago. Because that's just now, if you used it, you've already used it. What was there spiritually is already in you. You just relax and be joyful. Why? It's an option. If you don't exercise your options, they lapse. And then what you thought was your opportunity, when you say, well, four months ago, JR, you said that you would let me do such and such. I said, I know, but that was 4 months ago. They said, well, I didn't do it then. Can I do it now? I say, no, you can do it 4 months ago. Well, how come I can't do it now? That option isn't available. Well, but you said. I said, and now I'm saying something new. No. They don't want to take you said that, because they're saying, but you said that before, and they want to then run feed back out of negativity toward you and be negative to try to win. If I take a rotten tomato and throw it to you, what have you got when you get it? A rotten tomato. It doesn't get ripe on the way. Negativity pushed into the future has got negativity wrapped in it. You're going to have to take some time and go around yourself and just brush off all the negativity and just say, I'm born right now, new again. And go inside of yourself and start to pluck out the thing that blocks your eye so you can't see. What is it that you really can't admit to yourself? You don't have to tell anybody else. What is it you can't admit to yourself and say, and this needs to be changed? If you say, I don't know, then you're looking back instead of forward. If you say, I can't see anything forward, what are you going to do tomorrow? Oh, I'm going to go shopping. What are you going to do the next day? Well, we're going to go to the beach. You're already looking forward. If we say, what are you doing 10 years from now? You say, I don't know. You have to progress the information up to 10 years. You have to start to plan instead of fail to plan. If you fail to plan, guess what you get as a result? Failure. But it's not an end. See, if it ended with failure, that would be okay. We'd be gone. If it ended with success, that would be okay. It'd be gone. When does it end? When they give me the cue card and it says, time's up. Beirush Beisham.
John Rogers' closing words were Beirush Beisham, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.